Welcome to The Act of Storytelling, Chapter 2, Storyteller Snapshot 1. We're here today with film director Hayden Gregory and his collaborative partner in crime, producer Opie Sena-Hassel.
Yes, these guys are currently part of the creative team developing the indie feature film The Rip, and we thought we'd take a second during production to sit down with them and talk about their journey so far. So let's talk about what's on the horizon, but before we do, let's talk about how you guys met. Who wants to take this one?
Sorry, just before you launch into the story, I'll just get you to introduce yourselves on the mic so we know who's speaking.
Sure. I'm Opie Sena-Hassel, creative producer of The Rip.
And I'm Hayden, director of The Rip.
Very nice. Now to the exciting part, which is the story of how you met. Was there a bit of a particular moment and an interesting story that you guys might have met in an interesting way?
Well, it does.
A little birdie has told me there is an interesting story about how you guys met. So, over to you.
Well, is there any idea? Because there are Give many us a clue. Interesting stories.
Yeah, yeah.
What have you heard?
Well, I'd like to hear where you're going to go first with this.
Is it when our eyes locked across the room at the age of 13? Or is it the story about
the blue light disco?
Is there actually
just tell us something. Just tell us anything at this point.
We're both obsessed with things, art and music and all that sort of stuff, and filmmaking. And I think we started making films together at about 12 or 13 out of a bungalow that a friend of ours was living in at that age as well. And we started a production company called Bungalow Productions.
Fantastic. Nice.
Very original.
Yeah, yeah.
Catchy.
Yeah.
Catchy. And we were like, push out a little masterpiece a week kind of a deal.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, you know, so we'd shoot on a weekend and then we'd go to school and sort of edit it the next couple of days in lunch times and then...
Yeah, of course, the punch and crunch on VHS and...
And exactly.
All of the mud and blackberry stains coming off the equipment before we return it to the school property.
That's right. We realised early on that blackberries could double as fake blood well. And there's a lot of blackberries around the country where we grew up. So there were ninjas, there were war films, there were...
How do we get access to this back catalogue?
Do you still have these?
They exist on VHS in a vault somewhere.
Locked away.
Locked away. But they had great titles, you know, titles like Dave the Psycho 2. Ooh. I don't think there was a Dave the Psycho 1.
No, it was just Dave straight Psycho to the 2. Sequel.
And so obviously your collaborative partnership has stood the test of time. You're still speaking to each other today, and not only are you speaking to each other, but you're working on quite a significant project at the moment. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, after many short films, after film school and all of the run-and-gun, guerrilla-style education we had growing up, we started a production company together and we were doing corporates and music clips and all the kind of creative stuff we could, along with some short films. And over the years, the company ended up folding and we went back into our...
The bungalow folded.
No, this Bungalow Productions was unofficial. After that, there was a company set up called the Film Dojo.
Yep.
And when that turned down, we went back into our individual... freelance careers.
Yep.
We pursued, you know, a number of scripts, did some short films, a little bit of funding here, Open Channel, Screen Australia. And at the start of 2016, we'd been through a few situations where we're like, it's just time. We have to just find a step that's going to lead us into our first feature film. Let's not write another short. Let's write the full story.
And interestingly enough, I think after going through a number of years of professional work, it's sort of like making our first feature in some way is returning to the Bungalow Productions run-and-gun model.
Yeah,
you know, it's very professional and we've got an amazing crew and really talented people around us. But it still has that feel about it, which I think the best thing about making something that's very low budget and off your own back is you're in control of it. And there's a wonderful sort of artistic freedom that I think... everyone is enjoying when we're shooting it and when we're putting it together.
You're not still going on VHS though. It's moved on at this point.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I've just recently seen the behind the scenes footage.
Well, you've had the sneak peek.
I've had a sneak peek and it looks amazing. And I know you've said that it's low budget, but the quality of the footage is just amazing. So I'm really excited to see what you guys come up with.
When we got back from stage one production, we were over the moon. The shots were incredible. The time we spent in the storyboarding and putting together the style and the design of the film really paid off when we had Sean Herbertson, this great DOP, bring in a really high quality camera.
Awesome.
And do all of his wonderful work, lighting and working with our natural environment. So much of it was shot with natural light. And that really does, you know, highlight the talent of a good DOP.
Yeah, it does. And before we get too far into that, tell us a little bit about the idea. Obviously, it's still in production. You don't want to give away too much. But if you can give us a little teaser about what the idea of the feature film The Rip is.
Well, essentially, this film is about grief and how a couple cope with the loss of a child. Mm. It takes them through a traumatic journey of discovering how they come to terms with this irreversible fact in their life.
But we should say it's a psychological thriller and it's very scary.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that side as well.
Yeah.
If you can't tell, Hayden's grinning. So what would you say you found the most challenging in terms of the production so far?
Look, I think when you have four strong creative individuals coming together on a project like this at the very beginning, before any concepts have been put forward, it was the unity of our visions, the four of us wanting the same thing.
Mm. And the four of you are?
Shash, Lal, Andrea McCannon, Hayden Gregory and myself, Opie. Right. Yep. We formed a creative team and we started from scratch, ground up on this concept. We're working back from having a location as a really good setting for a psychological thriller. And I think the biggest challenge, like Hayden has said before, was having the right people with the right vision, sharing that vision of what the end result was going to be. Mm-hmm. So once we identified and we all agreed that this is the type of film we're going to make, it just became this great process of having actors who could develop their own characters come and sit back down with Hayden and I, who had worked out scenarios to put them through and see how they felt, workshop them, get them to improvise, learn from it.
And you were using a bit of the Mike Lee method worked through Robert Marchand.
Fantastic.
That's right. Yeah, so Andrea, the co-creator and one of the lead actors, did a character-based workshop.
Character-based improvisation.
It's such a great method for improvising characters and seeing how they respond.
I think, yeah, it's one of those things where you could do it for years. You could. And I understand how that process, that Mike Lee method of sort of workshopping something for months and months and months and then having that patience to then explore every element and then start to put it together only then. I understand that and I think it's a wonderful process. It's very luxurious and I don't think you get to do it very often.
Yep.
And it's another great thing about making your first film and not having perhaps the usual money people sort of staring or breathing down your neck as you can do that. But then ultimately you have to whittle that down to, you know, what's winding up on screen. So, you know, it's definitely a process.
I think the thing with the Mike Lee method too is that even when Mike Lee works with it, he's working on big budgets generally, you know, big sets, and there's amazing stories of him working on complete sets, you know, where people are opening doors and there's all of a sudden a new room that they've never seen before, you know.
That's,
and then
right.
It creates
and 10 characters they've never
yeah,
met
10
before.
Characters have never met before. But obviously when you're doing it on a smaller budget, it's then how do I do that? And it's usually an investment in time.
Absolutely.
Rather than set and budget.
I think there's a more of a connection between the Truman Show and Mike Lee than we probably care to admit in some
true,
ways.
Yeah,
and that in some ways that's the biggest challenge I've actually faced. It wasn't sort of filming without power and electricity and, you know, in cold and hot and all these other circumstances. That's sort of like my playground in some way, and same with Opie. We're so used to that. It's the patience involved in making a micro-budget or no-budget feature film. That's what's really tough, is sort of creating something and then going away and pondering it and working on it while you're waiting for the next stage to come together, and to not get carried away. You hear all the stories about many great filmmakers who just wanted to rush something and get something done, and then they wound up taking the time and doing it properly. And I understand that now. I'm not saying I am a great filmmaker yet, but it's easy to look at those things in retrospect and go, well, of course they should have waited. They made this incredible film. But when you're doing it, you don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
are we making the right decision here by either smashing through something just to get it done in the right amount of time, or taking the time to do it right? And the choice seems obvious, but when you've got a lot of people standing around waiting for the end result, it's hard.
So that leads us probably to this next point, which is having gone through the process and still going through the process. For someone who's starting out, going to create their first feature film, what would be the advice that you would give them as, you know, a young filmmaker? And I'll go with you first, Opie.
Oh, look.
No pressure.
Just putting the pressure on you.
Yeah, no, having not finished the first feature film yet, it's really hard to know what the critical answer for this is for anyone starting out at any point in their career, whether they're just having ideas or really clear about it. I personally need to know what I'm aiming for. It has to be so clear and vivid what that end result will be. Through any projects, whether it's something personal, it's my career, I've got to have a clear vision in my head of that final end, whether it's a product or a feeling or an achievement. For me, reverse engineering has been a process and an approach to achieving a lot of things in my life. And I think that's really important with any project, knowing what you want at the end, seeing what it looks like.
A clear goal at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Hayden?
If it was advice for my younger self or another writer, director, I'd probably the first thing I'd do is just give them a long cuddle and tell them it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay for a long time till they started crying. You just have to do it. And we've all heard it so many times before, and I've said it before, I was never going to be ready to make my first feature, so you just have to go and do it. I'd say to younger, particularly younger filmmakers, and not just first-time filmmakers, that you're going to make a lot of mistakes and just go out and make them. You're going to have your nose broken a bunch of times and your ego shattered and all that sort of stuff, and you just need to do it. We've witnessed the change in the evolution in technology. We've been doing it longer enough, you know, 25 years now, to see all these changes. And it's a part of it is realizing that technology is kind of caught up where you can go and shoot something that's really high end for very little money. And we're in a time in the digital era with big sensored cameras and cinema chips and beautiful lenses on the cheap, where it's kind of like the French New Wave in some ways, when they had the Super 16 small lightweight cameras and they could run out on the street and just do it and just make it happen, you know. And we're in that age, and it's interesting that there's a lot of films coming through now. So the struggle is now obviously cut through. It's actually getting your films seen. It's easier and easier to make them. And then this young filmmaker looks at me and goes, yeah, but what's the advice?
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. And I guess that leads really well into you've shot the first act of the film. So you've had the first production bracket. You've cut a trailer. You've cut behind the scenes footage. You're promoting the film. And obviously, at some time in the near future, going back into production. Can you talk to us about next steps and what you're hoping will happen?
Yeah, well, look, our goal at the start of this was to get the ball rolling one way or another. Let's jump in and get something created, because the biggest struggle for Australian filmmakers is finding money to complete a project. I think there's a lot of really economic ways to create a good product. It's just ideas and sitting down with the right people, developing it all the way. So we crowdfunded at the start of the year and raised enough money to get our crew down there fed, accommodated, to have 2 weeks to shoot the first 40 minutes of our film, which is essentially the setup to the whole story and sells our whole concept.
Congratulations, by the way. That's huge. Great effort.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we opted to have a little longer to try, and if people are on deferred payment anyway and everyone's in for it, you know, we decided to spend a little longer and get it right rather than, I mean, you can shoot a feature in a couple of weeks, we all sort of know this, but you don't have to, and that's the thing. So
proof of concept, we're selling something that we haven't finished yet. That's the trick. That's where we're at. And I think we've done a great job in creating a plan for partners to come on board to see what we're doing, so that they can see what the end product will be.
Yep.
Our next step is to find distributors and sales agents, people who know where this product exists in the marketplace, and help us establish some form of revenue assessment to find a way to guarantee a minimum amount of return on this, and then leverage from investors what we need to finish the film.
And creatively, the first 40 minutes sort of acts as a cliffhanger anyway. It's almost like the first episode of a TV series in some ways. So the idea is that people do watch it and go, okay, I want to see more, we're ready to go. And that first 40 is very polished. I mean, it's done, it'll be graded, sound mixed, the whole bit. So
really interesting concept, isn't it, that it's almost like an episode that you can then extend which is a really great way of doing it. It's a standalone piece as 40 minutes by the sounds of things.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic.
And a bit of a bonus question, because we have had both Shash and Andrea on the podcast in different capacities. How have you found working with your co-creators slash actors? Just between us.
Right, okay. And
depending how juicy the answers are.
They'll never listen to this,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they never, yeah, definitely.
They're hiding in a box somewhere.
They are, yeah. Yeah,
jumping out.
Amazing, look, in a word.
Yeah. And you know, surprises all the way when you're teaming up with people that we've only known for a few years. I think we'd both worked with Andrea and Shash in very small capacity over a few years in a studio that we all worked at. So when we all got to get in the same room together and bond, and the friendship was established and a shared vision for what we wanted, it just became organic and highly stimulating. Every session was more fun than the last and didn't feel like work.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I think the important thing with the four of us is we do push each other around a bit, and we're not afraid to fight the good fight. And that's part of that creative process, you know, the getting the sparks flying and all of that.
Yeah, we have a bit of that on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to manufacture it, but when it's there, you need to be able to ride that energy.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for spending a bit of time with us. It is a short, sharp storyteller snapshot, but we really look forward to seeing what the next step is for you guys. And let us know so we can promote it on the podcast as well.
Yeah, and maybe we can get you back on when the whole thing's finished and you're talking about distribution.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Earbuds, Melbourne's podcast network. Earbudsnetwork.com.